Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice that the weather is nice. So it is good to have you with us today as we gather to worship, as we continue to go through our sermon series. Why? Why do we do the things that we do as Christians? Why do we do the things that we do at the Church of God? So before we dive into God's Word, will you just pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for the beautiful weather. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder of that you are a God that is good, a God that is gracious, a God that allows new days to begin and old days to be gone. We thank you, Lord, for second chances. We thank you, Lord, for hope. We thank you, Lord, for grace which covers us. We thank you, Lord, that we get to gather in this place and in this space, Lord, that we can walk in here freely. We thank you, Lord, that we don't walk in here as perfect people, and we will not leave here as perfect people. But we will leave here as forgiven people, as loved people, and we give our lives to you. So, Father, I pray that you will speak to us. I pray, Lord, that you will speak through me and despite me, Lord. You know what a mess I am. And, Lord, I pray that your truth would be proclaimed, your truth would be heard, and your truth would be acted on. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ and all of God's people said.
Amen.
So, if I'm going to be honest with you, my first memories of when I went to church were not good. They were not good memories when I went to church. I would say to my parents, why do I have to be quiet? I'm a kid, I'm supposed to be loud and rambunctious and move around. Why would you sit me on these wooden pews? Why? Or I would say, why do I have to wear my Sunday best? They were itchy clothes, I didn't like them, they were stiff. Why did I have to do that? Why did I have to keep standing and kneeling and standing and kneeling? Pick a lane. Let's stay there. Why do we have to do that? And why, oh why, did somebody get up there, some guy, and just keep blathering on for what seemed like forever? Not that any of you have ever thought that here. I would just say why. But the thing that really made me question and go why, I was like, why do they keep passing that plate of money around, and why can't I take some? They're putting it right in front of me. Clearly, I should be able to take it so I can go buy a comic or I can go get a pizza. Why do they do that? Now, those are things that probably a young child would think, but believe it or not, there are many people today that still say, why do we have to tithe? Why do we take an offering? What's the purpose? What's the point of all of that? Well, that's what we are going to take a look at today. And let me preface this by saying, tithing is not about money. It's not about money. You may say, Pastor, I don't know what you're trying to pull here. But tithing is not about money, and God's Word is going to show us that. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Deuteronomy, the Old Testament. We're going to be in chapter 14, and we're going to start at verse 22. Here's what God's Word says. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine, and olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks, in the presence of the Lord your God, at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. But if that place is too distant, and you have been blessed by the Lord your God, and cannot carry your tithe, because the place where the Lord will choose to put his name is so far away, then exchange your tithe for silver and take the silver with you and go to the place the Lord your God will choose. Use the silver to buy whatever you like, cattle, sheep, wine, or other fermented drink, or anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. And do not neglect the Levites living in your town, for they have no allotment or inheritance of their own. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites, who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, and so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. The word tithe literally translates 10%. That's what the word means. And this is not a modern-day invention. This is not something of the contemporary church. This is something we can trace all the way back to Abram in the book of Genesis. Now, a tithe then was to bring in your livestock, to bring in your oil, your grain, all of that there so that the people would continue to have a reverence for God. Because remember, it is God's land that the people are on. It is God's land that the people farm. It is God himself who makes the land prosperous. It is God who brings the rain to make the crops grow. So a tithe was really a celebration of God's blessing on the people. Because the people had no power to make it rain. The people had no power for the sun to come up. The people had no power to make the crops grow. And believe it or not, when people would bring the tithe to where God had designated, it was a tithe party. People were coming in celebration. They would be coming to celebrate the goodness of God, the abundance of God, the blessing of God. It was an absolute celebration, which seems foreign to us today, but that's how God intended it to be. The people came willfully, and the people came joyfully, because they knew it was God who blessed the land. They knew it was God who had given them the land. And so what they were doing is they were taking 10% of the 100% of God's blessing and giving it back to God. Because God had blessed them with 100% of what they had. They could not make the crops grow. They could not do anything. So God was saying, give me 10% back of what I've given you, and you can live on the 90%. That's a pretty good deal right there. And see, for us, we need to celebrate the provision that God has given us. Yes, we don't have livestock, and we don't have oil, and we don't have grain, but God has blessed each of us. And a tithe is an opportunity to trust God, to celebrate God, to say, thank you, God, for the blessing that you have given me in my life every day. See, tithes, and here's the first reason why we tithe. Tithes help us keep God as our number one priority. So many people say, man, I want to make God my priority, but I just can't because I've got so many things going on in my life that when you are tithing faithfully, God will always be your number one priority in life. Look, tithing isn't about money. Tithing isn't about livestock. Tithing isn't about rice. Tithing isn't about oil. Tithing is about saying, God, you are my number one priority in life. And when we tithe to God first. But most people tithe on their leftovers. After everything else is done, if I have something left over, then I will tithe to God. Years ago, this was explained to me as something called checkbook theology. I know we don't do a lot with checkbooks anymore. Everybody pays online and stuff like that. But back when checkbooks were all of the rage, you could go in and you could see your registry. And you could see what people's priorities were based upon what was in their registry. And in most people's cases, you would find the tithe, if you found it all, at the very bottom of the check registry. Mortgages are important. Bills are important. But are they a higher priority than God? Listen to what the Word says here for us in Luke 21. There's a wonderful, wonderful story. It says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty and put in all she had to live on. What a wonderful story, because here come the religious people, and yes, they are putting something in, but they're giving out of their abundance. But what we see here with the woman who gives out of her need, she's saying, God, you're my number one priority. It doesn't matter how little I have, God, you're my number one priority. This shows that tithing isn't about money, because if tithing was about money, wouldn't Jesus have celebrated those who were coming up and giving large sums? But no, he celebrated the widow who gave the very little that she has because she was saying, God, you are first in my life. You know, I've had the privilege to be a pastor for a long time. And I've had the privilege to know pastors who have done it longer than me and much better than me. And can I tell you, in all my years as a pastor, and in all the years I know these wonderful pastors, not once has someone come to them or come to me and said, Pastor, I can't pay my mortgage. I can't make food on the table because of my tithe. Because I tithe, Pastor, I can't pay my bills. I have never had anybody say that to me. I have never known of another pastor that has someone who said, I made God my priority, and I began to tithe, and now I can't make rent. Now I can't make bills. In fact, they have said the opposite. I didn't realize I had this much. Because God always provides. Remember how God provided the manna in the desert? Remember how God provided for Elijah when the raven brought bread and meat every day, morning and night, because God provides for his people when they make him their top priority. God even said, even if you're far away and you can't make it to the temple, or maybe because you're so blessed that you have so much livestock, so much grain, so much produce, and you just can't bring it to the temple, God says, then you go sell those things and then bring it to the temple so that you can still make me your number one priority. Tithing isn't about money. And if you think it's about money, then I'm sorry, but you have been misinformed. Tithing is about saying, God, you are my number one priority. See, the reason why we take an offering every week is so that we can all say, God, you're my number one priority. See, tithing isn't to hurt us, it's to help us, it's to remind us, God, you have provided for me. That home that I'm in, that car that I drive, that food that I have, that clothing, God, it's all from you. You blessed me with that job. You blessed me with all those things. And God, I want to make sure, no matter how successful I am or how much I struggle, that you are always my number one priority. So the first reason of why we tithe is to keep God as our number one priority in life. Now, are there practical reasons why we tithe? Of course there is. You need money to rent this space. You need money to pay the staff. You need money to have the ministry center. We need all of that. Sure, there's very practical, but first and foremost, tithing is an act of worship. It's an act of coming before God, saying, Lord, I'm here to worship you because you are the God who provides. That doesn't mean that we can just tithe and then never be a part of the kingdom work of God. That doesn't mean, well, because I tithe, I don't have to go out and be the hands and feet and love on people and serve people. That's not what that means. Tithing is not an obligation. Tithing is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to say, God, you're my number one priority. And before tithing is an action, tithing is an attitude. Listen to these words from Scripture from Leviticus 27. It says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain or from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. How about 2 Corinthians 9 when Paul says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And if you look at what tithing is, it's loving God and loving other people. See, because tithing, and here's your second reason. The second reason why we tithe is so that we can be a part of the kingdom work of God. That we can be a part of what God is doing in the hearts and minds of other people. And so what this text tells us, and what many texts tell us throughout Scripture, is not only do we have a weekly tithe, but sometimes we have an additional tithe so that we can show other people the love of God. That we can show people how valuable they are to God. We can show people the hope of God. We can show people that you can have a second chance with God. And we know that in Scripture that teaches us widows and orphans and the poor. If they can see that God is our number one priority and that we are a part of doing the kingdom work that God has called us to do. See, tithing helps us not just talk the talk, it helps us walk the walk of faith. Because anybody can talk the talk of faith, but we walk the walk of faith and say, God, you're my number one priority and I'm about your kingdom work. And let me give you two benefits that happen to you when you tithe. Number one, you find joy in trusting God. You know, we live in a world right now that seems like there's no joy anywhere. Every time we turn on the news, there's one more joyless piece of information. But we can find joy when we can say, I'm going to trust God. I'm not only going to trust God with my life, I'm going to trust God with my resources, I'm going to trust God. So there's joy in trusting God. And secondly, there's joy in having a kingdom impact. You can make a difference. All of us go through life wanting to make a difference, wanting to leave a mark, wanting to make the world a better place. We can do that through having a kingdom impact, but you got to make God your number one priority. You got to say, God, it's about your kingdom work and not about my kingdom work. It's about being a part of something that's bigger than yourself that will outlive your life. And that can only happen when God is your priority and you're about the kingdom work. And that takes an investment. That's why Paul said to the Galatian church, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, for the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We have to invest in our relationship with God. And that is a God who is my number one priority. And when we invest in our relationship with God, as God is our priority, in doing the kingdom work, and realizing that tithing has nothing to do with money, but everything to do with our relationship with God, then we will reap eternal life. It's not about how much, it's about why. So often people say, well, I can't give up. God's not concerned about that. God's like, why are you doing it? Is it because I'm your number one priority? Is it because you want to be a part of the kingdom work that I'm doing? That's the most important thing. Tithing isn't about money. It's about making God our priority and being a part of the kingdom work that He's called us to. You know, there have been studies after studies after studies with Christians that Christians, the last thing that Christians want to give after they give their heart to Jesus, after they give their time to Jesus, after they give their talent to Jesus, after they give their problems to Jesus, after they give their whole life to Jesus, the last thing that people really give is their time. People can say, hey, I love Jesus, and I'm in church every weekend, and I'm a part of this ministry, and I'm a part of that ministry, and I'm all in. And you say, but do you tithe? No. But then you haven't fully given yourself. You're not fully trusting God. Tithing isn't about money, it's about an opportunity to say, God, I trust you. God, I know that you will provide. And again, this is not a modern day thing where the church got together and said, let's just find out how to have people tithe. I want to give you some statistics. There are over 500 verses in the Bible on prayer. Over 500. There are fewer than 500 on faith. And you know that there are more than 2,350 on how to handle money. Do you think God knew that we would struggle with this issue? More than anything else. In fact, Jesus spoke about it this way. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That's about priorities. That's about saying, God, you're my number one priority. God, I'm about your kingdom work. God, I trust you with 100% of the blessing you gave me, that if I give you 10% of that blessing back, I know, God, that you will provide for me. And let's be clear. Money isn't a problem. God has blessed many people throughout Scripture and throughout history with money. That's a wonderful thing. There's no problem in having money. There's a problem if money has you. If money becomes your God. If money becomes all that you're about, I have to have more of it, more of it, more of it, more of it. So God told the people, bring your tithe to the temple. Now why is that significant? Because when they brought their tithe to the temple, it was a fellowship meal. Because remember, the tithe in this text is grain and livestock and produce. So they brought it in and had a fellowship meal. So what's the importance of that? It reveals two things. Number one, it expressed the unique relationship that they had with God. That they got to come into the presence of God and have a meal. And number two, it showed their dependence on God and not their agricultural skills for food. See, the third reason we tithe is because of the unique relationship that we get to have with God. We get to come into God's presence together like we're doing today. We get to gather in the name of God. We get to worship God. We get to sing God. And God is here, the stumbling block. Just as He was in the temple, God's presence is here. And we have a unique relationship that we can come in and we can praise God and God knows our name. So when the people brought their fellowship offering in, it was revealing this unique relationship that they had with God. Because they knew what we often forget. We cannot prosper without God's blessing. Our marriages will not prosper without God's blessing. Our kids will not prosper without God's blessing. Our community, our church, everything in life, nothing prospers without God's blessing. And to have a unique relationship to come in to do that. It shows the oneness of the people. That all of the people brought their tithes and offerings into the presence of God. They were one. And what it really shows is a covenant renewal, a reminder to say, God, we are yours and you are ours. It's a chance for them to renew their commitment to God. It's a chance for them to understand the commitment that God has made to them to provide for them. It's a chance for them to show they are fully submitted and trusting God. Now remember, some people would bring their tithe in, they couldn't eat all 10% of what they were given. And so that would then go to the Levites.